Hey everybody, this is Pastor Travis from AOL Church, and I want to thank you for joining us on our podcast. I pray this inspires you, encourages you, and leads you to your next step to connect with God. Enjoy the message.
All right, I want you to look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, you need to be a solution and not a problem. Look at your other neighbor and say, you can be a problem, but I'm going to be a solution. Some of you husbands enjoyed that too much with your wife right now. We'll have counseling afterwards. Please email Pastor Robert, and he will help you out with that. Praise God. Well, if you have your Bibles, open them to Genesis chapter 41. And we're in this series today right now called Digging Ditches. How many of y'all this last week, you thought about the word that went forth last Sunday, and you're ready to get to dig the ditch. Dig the ditch in your community, dig the ditch inside of your neighborhood, dig the ditch in your city, in your family, where you work. Let's not be people that sit on the sidelines, but let's be people that makes room for more. When you dig holes, we took it out of the text of 2 Kings chapter 3, where Jehoshaphat tells the king of Israel and the king of Edom, if we're going to make it out of this and get water, we're going to have to go and see the prophet. And the prophet says, make this valley full of ditches. There was no water in sight. They were in a wilderness. They were in a dead place. They were in a deserted area. And he said, you're going to have to step out in the supernatural. How many of y'all know you got to step out in the natural before you see signs of the supernatural? And so he steps out in faith, and they begin to dig ditches. And God didn't ask you, God didn't tell you to ask where the water was coming from. He just asked you to be obedient, to be a vessel, to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Amen? And so as they begin to dig, the water came and gave them water and gave them resources. But the Bible says this in Genesis chapter 41, in verse 9, we're going to start in verse 9 here. It says this, then the chief cupbearer spoke to Pharaoh saying, I would mention my faults today. 2 years ago, Pharaoh was angry with his servants and he put me in confinement in the house of the captain of the guard, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream on the same night. He and I, each of us dreamed according to the significance of the interpretation of his own dream. Now there was with us in the prison a young man, a Hebrew, a servant of the captain of the guard, and we told him and he interpreted our dreams for us to each man according to the significance of his own dream. And just as he interpreted the dreams for us, so it happened. I was restored to my office as chief cupbearer, and the baker was hanged. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes, making himself presentable, he came to Pharaoh. This is what I want to talk about right here. And they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when Joseph shaved himself, changed his clothes, making himself presentable, he came to Pharaoh. I want to talk to you today about I am a solution and I'm not a part of the problem. Y'all ready? I'm a solution and not a part of the problem. See, you can have a problem without a solution, but you can't have a solution unless there's a problem. Man, am I talking to you this morning? I've sat in enough counseling to know this. Husbands, let me just give you a little bit of advice. When you come home from your long day, meetings, and all the things that you went through, and you walk through the door and your wife is standing there with a problem, can I tell you some advice here? If you give them a problem on top of a problem, you really got problems. I figured I'd have a bigger amen from the wives than that. How many of y'all know if you have a problem and you try to answer that problem with a problem, you got big problems? You know what you need is someone in the house that says, hey, I want to be here for a solution rather than be a part of the problem. You know what we have today? We have problems, but then we have people with problems, and so we got multiple problems. But I don't know about you. As I read the Word of God, there's something that sparks interest in me that even though there's problems all around me, I have greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. There is a solution that each and every one of you guys carry for the problems we face today. I want to talk about I'm a solution, I'm not a problem. Everybody in here is a little bit different. I used to preach this in youth, and those of you youth kids that are out there today, you'll remember this teaching, but I would use a key, and I have one right here. In fact, I've done it one more time in the adult service, and I've done it years before, but here is a key, and if you go to Home Depot or to Lowe's, if you want to make a copy of this, you know how it works. They have that machine. They go over there, and I think I could work it actually better than any of the employees. I'm just going to throw that out there. Last time I went, it took forever. But they have a blank, and they stick in, and it makes a mold of this, and then it begins to cut out this key to fit inside of a lock perfectly. I want to tell you, each and every person in here, you may have lost your purpose. You may have lost your zeal. You may have lost what you feel like you're here for. But I'm here to tell you that each and every one of you, there is a key that God has made inside of you for purpose here on this earth. There's some things that's been cut off of you. There's some things that's been burned off of you. There's some things that's been chiseled off of you to fit through doors that even myself that may not can't go through. I used to tell young people all the time, there may be people that they reach that I'll never have the opportunity to reach. That's why it's so important to let your light shine wherever you go. There may be people that I struggle with, but Pastor Brandy comes along. She sees their perspective. She hears their heart. And because of the testimony and the chiseling and the breaking away that happened in her life, it gave the opportunity to unlock something inside of their heart. Obviously, Jesus is the one who does it, but I want to remind every one of y'all in here that you can be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem today. All of you in here, maybe it's divorce, maybe it's bankruptcy, maybe it's rejection, maybe it's shame, maybe it's guilt. All of those things, maybe it was addiction at one time. The things that you've done, maybe even be some regrets and faults and failures. There's been some things that have been broken off of you for doors that you're supposed to go into in the future. How many of y'all believe that? I believe you're here for such a time as this. I'm going to say it again. You're here for such a time as this. You made it through the car wreck. I'm telling you, God has a plan for your life. I'm going to say it again. You made it through the sickness and disease. God has a plan for your life. You made it through the bankruptcy. God has a plan for your life. You made it through the addiction where all these people around you died from the same thing you were snorting, shooting in your arm, or drinking down your throat. God has a plan. Come on, somebody needs to get it this morning. God has a plan for your life. God's called you to be a solution rather than to be a problem. We have enough problems here today. We need some more solutions. And as we've been talking about digging ditches, I want to tell you there's some opportunities that God has given you here in the next future, even not only in this church, but as Americans, where you can be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Let's not just complain about what's happening in the school. Let's be a part of the solution and go to PTA meetings and board meetings so we see what's going on and be a voice, amen, Busbies, of what's going on in our school systems. Let's be a part of the solution and not be a complainer. Come on. Let's fight the good fight of faith. So God's called you and you're a key. You're a key. Everybody say, I'm a key. There's some things God has put in you. There's some things that's been broken off of you to go through doors that you're supposed to go through. You just need to be obedient. You know, the Bible is full of keys and solutions. I think about Samuel, he was a key for the nation of Israel. David, he was a key, was he not? I think about Jonah. Even though he was a pain to everybody else in the boat, he was a key for the nation of Nineveh. We need to be a key. Daniel was a key. Elijah was a key. Elisha, he was a key. God used him to unlock doors. Even the one we talked about last week, Elisha, of digging ditches to make room for more and coming in. Joshua, He was a key. Moses, he was a key. But let's talk about Jesus. How many of y'all know he holds the keys, and there is doors that he can open that no man can shut, and doors that man shuts that he can open. Come on. How many of y'all know he is the key? Come on, I get excited when I begin to talk about service, and there's people. I don't care your background. I don't care who your mama or your daddy is. I don't care if you're a hillbilly or you make tons of money. I'm telling you, you may be out there right now and you think to yourself, my life is over. I have no purpose. No, there is a plan of God on your life. You're a key. You're a key. Everybody say, I'm a key. But today I want to talk about the life of Joseph here. And we see the ending part. In fact, after this, we know how he goes on and gets in Pharaoh's home and begins to change the whole outcourse of the nation of Israel. And he becomes such a key. But those of you that's ever studied the life of Joseph, maybe you haven't or maybe you have, you can read about it. It starts in beginning of Genesis chapter 37, 38, 39, 40. It goes on from there. And in those three chapters, there's more that happens to him than anybody that has ever visited the Jerry Springer show. Amen. I mean, he is like a country song. Billy Ray Cyrus, don't break my heart, my achy, breaky heart. I mean, it goes through it all. Y'all believe that? And if you hadn't heard the story of Joseph, here just a little bit. He has a daddy. His name is Jacob, and he has two wives. See, I told you, Jerry Springer right here. And the second one that he loved, and it was Rachel's firstborn, and she was in a famine, or she was barren, and she finally has a boy, and his name is Joseph. There was 10 other brothers, Gad, Naphtali, Asher, Reuben, Judah, there's many of them that were before him, but he was the favorite. Let me see a show of hands of you parents that you have a favorite child. Shame on you guys. Come on. All right, well, if it's his only child, we're good. All right, some of y'all passed the test. You failed miserably, if not. But, and so anyways, he has this coat of many colors that his daddy gave him. And there's a particular part in the story in Genesis 37. He says, hey, go out with your brothers. They're feeding my flock. And on the way there, you need to know the backstory. He had told this dream to his brothers that one day the sun, the moon, the stars, they'll all be bowing down to me. The whole nation will be bowing down to me. So he tells his brothers this. Obviously, jealousy fills into their heart. And as he's on his way with the coat of many colors, they see that coat. They become jealous of his relationship with the dad. And so they say, you know what? When he gets here, we'll throw him in a pit. Reuben has the idea. Let's throw him into this pit. And so they throw him into the pit. They think at first they're going to kill him. But then Judah, which rhymes with Judas, they said, no, let's sell him. And so Judah says, let's make some money off of him. And some Midianites come along, they buy him, and they take him into Potiphar's house. Once he's in Potiphar's house, you know the story. He's over the business, he's over the household, he's taking care. Potiphar is Pharaoh's captain of the guard. He's the number one man in charge, and he begins to excel. Even though he had been the problem for somebody else, he was the solution for somebody else. Come on, some of y'all need to get that, but whatever. And he moves on, so from there, from Potiphar's, he gets kicked out because his wife pulled a doozy on him. Potiphar's wife does. And so he kicks him out. From there, he goes into the prison. In the prison, he interprets two dreams for the butler and for the baker. And they come true. And he says, hey, remember me when you go back into Pharaoh's house. And Pharaoh has a dream. And this is where we pick it up right here, where he comes into Pharaoh's house to interpret these dreams. And that's where we see in verse 14, and they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon, and when Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes, making himself presentable, he came to Pharaoh. See, the reason I wanted to talk about Joseph this morning is because Joseph lived his life to be a part of the solution, even though many times people saw him as a problem. And I'm trying to, even though you may think to yourself, I'm just not capable of digging ditches. I'm here to tell you, God, there's an anointing on your life. I promise you, if you just tap into the key of what God has broken off of you, there's doors that God has for you that you're supposed to go through. And even though there were so many people that saw Joseph here as a problem. Joseph's brothers saw him as a problem, and so they throw him into the pit. Can I tell you this? People will see your blessing on your life as a problem. They saw that coat of many colors, and they saw all the things that he was going through, that he was the favorite of Jacob and all of that. I'm just here to tell you, don't think that it's a problem. I'm just trying to here to help your perspective. If they throw shade at you at Facebook because God is blessing you, I'm here to tell you that you're not a problem to the King of Kings. You're just a blessed person. Amen? And people will see it a problem as a problem when they see a blessing on you. You will never have anyone on you that is doing better than you. Amen? If somebody's doing better than you, you ain't going to have no problems for them. But the minute that God starts blessing you, get ready. Get ready, get ready. Can I get an amen out there? How many of y'all know that? The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. They'll have a problem with your gifting. There's people that's going to have a problem with your gifting. And again, I want to remind you in Ephesians chapter 6, our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers over darkness and wickedness in high places. That's who we're fighting with. But I will tell you this, that there will be attacks from people, from family members of the gifts that are on your lives that they wish that they had. But if they just got a perspective that God made them to go through doors that you're supposed to go through. Amen? Are you guys seeing it this morning? God's called you to be a solution and not a part of the problem. I tell you what, people have a problem with the anointing that is on your life. I love what Danny Johnson said. It's not that people don't like you. They just can't stand the Spirit of God that's on the inside of you. Do you see that this week? They're so true about that. People will have a problem with your new car, your new house, your new possessions. People will have a problem with your family doing better than theirs. Because how many of y'all know we ain't going to post a picture on Facebook that's bad? We're only going to post the one that looks good. How many times do we compare ourselves to everybody else's highlight reel? Stop doing that. Amen? And so the Midianites, they come along and they see this man Joseph. They see him as a solution. Midianites sell him to Potiphar as a solution. But can I tell you this? People pay for a solution. How many mechanics we got in here? All right. We pay for a solution. Veterinarians, we pay for a solution, don't we? Electricians, we pay for a solution. So we don't want to, you know, kill ourselves. We pay for these things. People pay for a solution. Now he's in Potiphar's house. He's running everything. God's favor is on his life. Can I tell you this? When you decide to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, God will put you in places running things that you're not qualified to do. Y'all missed it. They missed it, honey. I'm going to say it again. When you decide to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, God will put you in places running things that you're not qualified to do. How many of y'all are in places in your position at work today that you may not have a degree for, but you said, if you can use anyone, you can use me. I'll be faithful. I'll be on time. I'll be at the right place. I'll get along with everybody. I'll just do it. And what happened was, is this person over here may have degrees and a whole army of things that he's qualified to do. But because you stepped up to the plate and became a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, God will use that every time. You be faithful in the least of these. I'll make you something to be faithful big in. Are you guys getting it this morning? He steps up to the plate. Now he's in Potiphar's house. He's running everything. God does not qualify, does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen? God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. So now he's running the house. He's running the business for Potiphar. Also this, you need to know this. When you decide, you don't have to go looking for the blessing. When you decide to be a part of the solution, you don't have to go looking for the blessing. The blessing will come looking for you. When you decide, hey, I'm going to be a part of the solution. I'm not going to put it on Facebook how much I don't like so-and-so. or I don't like the way they did this, or I don't like the way they did that. How many of y'all know that's a problem on top of a problem? I put on Facebook, y'all see I put it on this last week, the guys inside the at the Catholic Church into the priest confessional. He said, Pastor, Father, forgive me for I have sinned. He said, I know. You put it all over Facebook. I already know what you did. I already know it. Rather than complaining, let's start praying. Rather than throwing in the deal, this having excuse after excuse after excuse, let's be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. And being a part of the solution sometimes is just keeping your mouth shut, not complaining, and saying, you know what, who's ever in charge, I'll be behind them. I'll be submissive. I'm going to submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from me. Amen? Humility. So we see Joseph here. He starts, and I don't want to bring this. When you decide to be a part of the solution, you will start seeing the dents in you that made you fit the situation better. We say, God, you know what? You cut that thing off of me in 1988 for the place where I am right now, for the perspective that I needed to see. There was a relationship that broke off in 1995 that I remember the things that I went through, and I'm seeing the same things now. God, you've given me wisdom for such a time as this. Who am I talking to this morning? There was a sickness or a disease or maybe something that you went through. You found yourself in a place and now you're seeing there's been some things that have been cut off of you, broken off of you, that you're fitting the situation of where you are today. See, I'm telling you, there was faith that was built up in him when he got out of the pit and he went into Potiphar's house. Maybe there was a reason my brothers are out of my life, because I need to see a little more clearly. I'm glad my brothers are out of my life, because now I can have faith in God. Come on, I believe that's prophetic this morning. There's some people, let them go. Come on, there's some people in your life, let them go. They were broke off of you for a reason. There was doors that were shut for a reason. When you start seeing the dents in you that made you to fit the situation, I'm telling you, that's when you're becoming part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. You know what David said in Psalm 119, verse 71? He said, it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. You know, you might be going through a rough spell. I tell you what, last week, I think it was a full moon full of werewolves. Hey, who can testify with me? You had Monday on Monday and Monday on Tuesday and Monday on Wednesday and Monday on Thursday. Oh, Lord, it was in horses. It was in people. It was in my wife. No, I'm kidding. She was perfect. She really was perfect. She helped me out. But how many of y'all know, and you got to say, you know what, this too shall pass. This too shall pass. It was good that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. It was good that some things were cut off of you. Are you guys getting anything out of this morning? See, as long as Joseph was a solution to Potiphar, he stayed in the house. But until his wife fell in love with him, he became a problem. But just because you're somebody's problem doesn't mean you can't be somebody else's solution. Oh, y'all didn't hear that. Just because you may be somebody else's problem doesn't mean you can't be somebody else's solution. You might be a problem to the neighbor. You might be a problem to the coworker at work, but it doesn't mean that you're a problem to everybody. You can be a solution still to your children. You can still be a solution to your wife. You can still be a solution in society today. Just because your key doesn't unlock a relationship or whatever doesn't mean that it doesn't unlock something in somebody else. Are you guys getting this morning? I love the story of Joseph, because I see him as somebody, if anybody could complain about problems, it was him. But he said, you know what? I'm not going to focus on the problem. I'm going to magnify the Lord with me. We will exalt his name forever. I'm not magnifying Potiphar. I'm not magnifying the pit. I'm not magnifying the coat of many colors that was stripped off my back. I am magnifying that he has given me a promise that the sun, moon, and stars will bow down to me. And so wherever I am, I'm going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. Get this in your heart today. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Substance is this. It's standing by the promise that's been promised to you. So no matter what kind of garbage you've gone through, you stand on the promise. Abraham stood on the promise that they would go into the land living with milk and honey. He stood on the promise, and then it got passed down to Isaac. He stood on that promise as well. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Come on, I'm going to be, even though I may not feel it, even though I may not see it around me, even though I feel like I've been attacked on every side, I'm going to stay in faith and I'm going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. You guys getting this? Get it in your heart today. Don't let how other people see you determine your value. Don't let how other people see you determine your value. Do not let how other people see you determine your value. Don't do it. Don't fall into it. That's why it's so important, parents, that we put value into our kids. How other people see you on Facebook and how other people see you at where board meetings or whatever it is. Don't let that get in your head. I want to remind you of some things this morning. Isaiah 49:15 says, they may forget, yet I will not forget you, says the Lord. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, to give you a future and to give you a hope. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31:3, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, we are a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, everything has become brand new. Amen? 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. I'm here to tell you this morning, you may not feel loved, but you still are loved. Amen? You may not feel peace, but let's be a part of the solution and not be a part of the problem. I want to remind you again, don't let how other people see you determine your value. Don't do it. So now we get to Pharaoh here. This is where we see in the text in verse 14 of chapter 41. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes, making himself presentable, he came to Pharaoh. So we get to Pharaoh here, and I just want to give you guys the perspective this morning. Pharaoh didn't know anything about Joseph. He didn't know what his brothers thought of him. He didn't know anything about him. Didn't know what Potiphar thought. He just knew how he was inside the prison. He heard that Joseph was a solution because the butler told him. You know why it's so important that no matter where we are, we let our light shine? At Tootin' Totem. You know what I did the other day? I was in line getting prescription at United. And I was just asking the question, you know, the guy behind him, he goes, he had a mask on. And I said, why you have a mask on? You know the mandate's over. He said, I'm sick. I said, oh, so it's for real. Y'all don't judge me right now. I'm just telling you about my conversation with this guy. I says, oh, you're legitimately sick? He goes, yeah, I'm legitimately ill. And I said, well, can I pray for you? He goes, you want to touch me? I said, absolutely. Amen. Mark 16 says, believers lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Went through the whole spiel. I said, you believe God can heal you? I said, are you a believer? Yes, sir. I asked Jesus into my heart when I was 4 years old at such and such Baptist church in such and such Texas. Come on. I said, all right, that's good. Do you believe God can heal you? Yes, I do. I said, how sick are you? 1 to 10. He said, a 10. I said, I believe the power of God's going to go into operation. So I pray for this guy right there in line at United. The guy behind him said, I don't feel good either. Will you pray for me? So I walked over to him. I prayed for him, and then there was two more, and the one in the very back, she came up to me, and she said, I'm not sick, but I just heard out my nephew has cancer. Will you believe God with me? Right there in line at the United. Amen? And I don't do that because I'm a preacher. I do that because I'm a believer. I'm going to say it again. I don't do that because I'm a preacher. I do that because I'm a believer. Noel, the other day, he told me, he said, Dad, do you realize, he's been chewing with me Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. He said, do you realize how many people you pray for in a week chewing horses? I said, son, this is a ministry. I said, when you go into the Marine Corps, it's a ministry. Worship, going everywhere that you guys go, it's a ministry. Construction, it's a ministry. Racetrack, it's a ministry. Rodeos. It's a ministry. It's a ministry. It's a ministry. Country club. It's a ministry. The doctor's office. It's a ministry. Come on, I'm here to tell you guys. I'm trying to put a spur in your belly. If you're going to dig ditches, you've got to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And you've got to be in service wherever you are. Whether you're in the pit, let's serve the Lord. If you're in Potiphar's house, let's serve the Lord. If you're in the dungeon or in the jail, we're going to serve the Lord. Come on. We're going to serve the Lord. You guys getting something out of this morning? Come on. Lean in. I'm almost done here. Now we get to Pharaoh. He heard of Joseph. I'm telling you, people will hear of you if you become a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. Your bosses will hear of you. They may be on the sixth floor and you're on the first floor. If you're a part of the solution and not a part of the problem, they will call for you. This is practical as much as it is spiritual. Get this in your heart. But put yourself in Joseph's shoes. Put ourselves in Pharaoh's. Now he was surrounded by inmates, but yet God pulled him out. He was put in a situation where he could have thought back on the pit and thought, woe is me. He could have thought about Potiphar and doubted about being a part of the solution. There's some of you in here right now that you think, you know what, my first marriage, my second marriage, my third marriage. I'm not going to say who am I talking to right now. My fourth marriage, my fifth marriage. There's some of you, you're from job to job to job to job to job. Hey, America, get back to work. Lord, have mercy. We need parts on trucks. Moving on. If he thought of that, or if you think of that, he could have thought to himself, how can God use me to interpret? I'm here to tell you this morning, God wants to use, not only does he want you, he needs you to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Joseph doesn't feel intimidated. He doesn't say, I'm not trained for this. I've never done dreams before. He saw that he was cut in all the right places to be in the jail cell with the baker and the butler at the right time. To say, hey, remember me. And the Bible says it even went another 2 years before he made mention. The butler made mention to Pharaoh about him. It was not until he had the dream. So I want to tell you this morning, stop crying over what you have lost because it was all training for what God has in store for you next. Stop crying for who ran out. I mean, I know it's sad, but I'm telling you, God's cutting you. God's making you ready to go through the door that you're supposed to go through. Guys, if you want to go ahead and come, I'm coming to a close. Stop crying. See, he cut him. He chiseled some things away at him inside the pit. He chiseled some things away from him when he was rejected at Potiphar's house. But he also chiseled some things in him. How about a boy that is a Hebrew that comes into an Egyptian's home? There's some things that were cut off of him, of his culture of Hebrew, if he was going to make it into an Egyptian world. But not only did he have Hebrew on him, he had Egyptian on him. See, he was going to excel wherever he was, and then he goes into the prison. It's the same way as well. See, if he wouldn't have been at the top in Potiphar's house, what makes him think he's going to be at the top inside the prison? No matter where you are, or what place or what stage you are in life, God told me to come this morning to tell you this: let's be a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. Stop crying over what's been lost. Stop crying over the thing that you wish, if we just had that, or it would be so much better. If so-and-so would be on board. See, you're getting off board by complaining about so-and-so. How about you just be a part of the solution and focus on that, and not bring other people in the mix? But this is the part that he all boils down to right here. He said, they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. And when Joseph shaved himself and changed his clothes, making himself presentable, he came to Pharaoh. How did he position himself to be a solution? He shaved off his beard. I believe the Lord wanted me to tell you guys this morning. You're going to have to cut off some past failures. He shaved his beard. You're going to have to, if you're going to walk into this place of solution, you're going to have to cut off past failures. You're going to have to cut off past mistakes. You're going to have to cut off past hurts, past regrets. Get it off of you. Get it off of you. I'm going to say it again. Get it off of you. Get it off of you. See, the prison definitely was a place where he needed to go through that God cut some things. But he said, you know what? I'm going into this new dimension. I'm going into a new place. I've got to get ready. It's almost like he was digging a ditch, getting ready for what more God had in store for him. Cut it off of you. Let's talk about it. Let's cut it off. Say, I'm going to cut it off. Cut off the past regrets. Cut off the past failures. Cut off the past shame. Cut off the past guilt. The past regrets. Get it off of you. And as he begins to do that, and he goes in and interprets the dream, God, and he begins to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. He doesn't feel sorry for himself of everything that he went through. He says, God, if you can use anyone, you can use me. I will dig a ditch. I haven't seen no water in a long time, but I'm going to dig a ditch. I'm going to make room for more. And he went from being the prisoner to being a prince. God's called you from being a prisoner to being a prince. But you ain't going to get there unless you get out Stanley and dig a ditch. God's called you from being a prisoner to now being a prince. And you're not going to get there until you start being a part of the solution rather than a part of the problem. God has been preparing you. It's right here. God's been preparing you. James, God's been preparing you. You're going to a new season. You're going to a new place. You're going to a new level. Behold, the old is gone, new has come. God's about to amplify some things in your life. You're about to go to a new level. Get ready. Those things that have been cut off of you are for doors you're supposed to go through. It's going to make a difference on your wife. It's going to make a difference on your two boys. Get ready for such a time as this. I see it all over you. There's an anointing on your life. In Jesus' name. Keys. 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 What's been broken off of you that you've been holding on to? Let it go. You can't go through the door if it stays. Let it go. 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 Oh, Disney's coming over me. What's the name of that movie? Can y'all sing that? Frozen, Let It Go? No, I'm kidding. Kidding. That was your true test. Y'all failed. Whatever. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. How many of y'all getting something out of the word today? Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. Let's stand to our feet. See, I believe some things that are being broken off of you, where before you could just get it into the lock, but you begin to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem, you'll be able to turn the lock. How many of y'all know He opens doors and He shuts doors? If you keep looking at yourself as the problem, you will stay in the prison. If you keep seeing yourself as the problem, you'll stay in the prison. But if you start being the solution, God has a palace ready for you to walk in. Come on, let's be a part of the solution. Who's with me this morning? I'm going to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. I'm not going to complain. Come on, I'm not only talking inside the church here just for a second. America, Americans, I'm telling you, in the season where we're going in, I'm telling you, if we don't stand up, stay open. Stay open. Don't walk in fear. We're going to be people of faith. I'm telling you, as Americans, be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. See, they have presented us with a problem. And if we give them more problems, we have problems. But I tell you what, I want to be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. The solution's in here. The solution's in here. Greater is He that's in you than he that is in the world. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You're more than a conqueror. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the mind of Christ. Come on, I'm talking to somebody right now, talking about being a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. I want to bring this up as we're coming into a place of service. There's some of you, you've been a great solution to keep our seats warm. Hey, it's time to move on. And you might be out there and you say, you know what? Nobody's ever opened the door for me. Do as unto others as you would have them do unto you. I promise you, get a part of the host team. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Don't complain about and say, oh, I wish it was done like this. Hey, let's be part of the solution and get on a team and make things better. Amen? In the children's church, I don't like the way they did that. Well, we would love for you to sign up and teach our kids the Word of God. Rather than complain, let's be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. I'm telling you, God will reward you. God will reward you. Rather than complaining about, you know what, our youth today, they just ain't got it. They're dumber than a box of rocks. Our nation is going to hell in a handbasket. Rather than doing that, let's sign up for the youth ministry. And say, you know what? You may be dumb as a box of rocks. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. Share the Word of God with them. You know what our kids need today? They need stability. They need stability. They need to be taught the Word of God. Come on. We're going to a place where we need people filled in spots and positions. We need help on the host team. We need help on the worship team. We need help in the production team. We need help in the parking lot. And I'm here to tell you, when you become part of the solution and not a part of the problem, God will elevate you. God will elevate you. That's digging ditches. I don't want to miss the word. You ain't going to miss the word. You ain't going to miss the word. I'm telling you, God will honor you to the end. Look what he did for Joseph. The Bible says about Joseph. In Hebrews 11, it talks about him being the hero, a hero of faith. And that he prophesied of them going into the land of the living. What was he? Joseph was a key. He was a key. Hey, be a key today at your, or this week at your job. Be a key in your family. Be a key in America. Be a key in your family. Say that again. Be a key in your family. Let's be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. I believe by the Spirit of God, there's people out here, shame, guilt has tore you up. Who are you? You're saying, you know what? I've been nothing but a problem in the society. How can I be a solution? Don't listen to that lie. Don't listen to that lie. There's some of you out there, you've been nothing but a problem. Just be honest with yourself. I've been nothing but a problem. I've been nothing but a problem, I feel like, to everybody else. Just be honest. Just be honest. Lift your hand. I've been nothing but a problem. I've been nothing but a problem. I'm telling you, I'm here to tell you, God tells you you're nothing but a solution. You're nothing but a solution. Keep your hand raised. You're nothing but a solution. Come on, church. They're nothing but a solution. God wants to use you to be a solution. God wants you to be a light in a dark world. God wants to use you to bring faith in fear-filled moments. God wants you to be bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Lord, I pray for these that have their hand raised. I pray, God, today that they're cutting off past regrets. They're cutting off past shame. They're cutting off past failures. And Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I pray for a confidence that comes over them. A confidence that comes over them. Lord, do a miracle inside of their heart. Set them free from the old. Behold, new is coming. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, if you're in this room and say, Pastor, I'm away from the Lord. I don't have a relationship with Jesus. This morning is your opportunity to invite Jesus to come live on the inside of you. If you're out there and you say, you know what, I had a relationship with him once, but you know what, I've broken contract with him. There's sin in my life. What is sin? It's missing the mark. It separates you from God. The wages of sin are death. Maybe there's death in your life. You feel dead. It's the effects of sin. And if you're in here and you say, you know what, I've sinned, there's sin in my life, I've been separated from the Lord. Maybe separation, but maybe you never asked Jesus to come live on the inside of you. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that he died on the cross, and on the third day he rose again, he'd come live on the inside of you. You admit that you're a sinner. You believe that he died, he was buried, and on the third day rose again, and you confess him as your Lord. I'm telling you, salvation is for you today. He shed his blood for you and me. If that's you today, you say, you know what? I want to ask Jesus to come live on the inside of me. Let me tell you something. He'll forgive you of your sin as far as the east is from the west. Pastor, you don't realize what I've done. You don't realize what I've said. You don't realize what I've smoked. You don't realize what I've snorted. You don't realize the hurt that I've brought. No, I don't, and I don't care, and neither does the Lord. He'll forgive you as far as the east is from the west. So if that's you today, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus. Everybody in the room, say, Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner separated from you. But today, I believe that you died, you were buried, and on the third day, you rose again. So I invite you in my heart, Jesus. Forgive me of my sin. I confess you as my Lord. From this day forward, I'll serve you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. You can stay connected with us through our website at arenaoflifechurch.org or follow us on Instagram or Facebook. God bless you and keep you.